The following was recorded at the St. Louis Bi-State Area Convention in 2014. The opinions expressed here on this recording are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole.
Let's begin with the Serenity Prayer. Our anonymity, like our abstinence, is a treasured possession. We ask the help of our guests, especially those representing press or media, to protect the anonymity of all members present. We hope you hear something which you can take away with you and use. We ask that you eliminate any mention of the names in reference to members of Overeaters Anonymous, and that no unauthorized pictures be taken. This session is being recorded and posted on the St. Louis OA website. It will not be edited. Anyone wishing to remain anonymous should use the fictitious name. We request that two Hatters, that is, OA members affiliated with related facilities or other anonymous programs, speak only to their personal recovery as OA members at OA meetings in order to help OA avoid endorsement of outside issues, enterprises. And I think by default I have become the first speaker. And my name is Nancy. And I'm a compulsive overeater.
I'm Nancy.
Abstinent today by the grace of God. And I have, thanks to the grace of God, I have 23 years of abstinence. That's obviously not perfect abstinence. I don't believe there is such a thing. I do the best I can, and God helps me with it, and that's where we go. Our topic is gratitude, and I told the person looking for speakers that the easiest topic on the face of the earth was gratitude for me, because I could talk on gratitude for the next 3 days. Kim's going to make sure I stop in 15 minutes, but you know, without a timer, I could just go on forever. And one of the things that gratitude does for me is that it changes my attitude. There was a Christmas, it was a year or two before the divorce, and I was still married. And he was giving me all kinds of presents. I got hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of presents, sometimes thousands, for Christmas, with no love attached whatsoever. And this Christmas was no different than any other. I got all these wonderful presents and got yelled and screamed at in the process. And I called my sponsor in tears, and she was on her way out the door, and she said, and had to go, and she said, "You need to go and make a gratitude list." I said, "I can't. He's all over wherever I am." She said, "Then walk down to the park," because my car wouldn't work that day. Walk down to the park, which was a block and a half away, on Christmas Day, and sit and make a gratitude list. And I sat there in tears, and the first thing I wrote was that I was grateful that I had a sunbeam on my back that would keep me from freezing. And then I got serious and got into, you know, could think of other things. When you start writing a gratitude list, it kind of snowballs. And you go, "Oh, yeah, and I'm grateful for that. Oh, and yes, that's really good. And, oh, And after I got about 25, 30 things on the list, I packed up my stuff and walked back up to the house. And we, at that time, I had a walk-in basement. So I went around the side and walked in the basement and laid down and took a nap. Woke up after a while, got up, went upstairs. My husband says, "Where were you?" I said, "Taking a nap." He didn't know I'd been in the park writing a gratitude list. He didn't need to know. But my attitude was a lot better because I had taken the time to do what my sponsor said and be grateful, because the very worst day of my life in OA has been much better than the very best day of it. And I don't ever want to be anywhere but in OA. That's just the bottom line. And I am just so grateful that that I found, with the grace of God, this program. Because look at, there's thousands of people who need us, but they don't find us. Even though we're here, it is a grace from God, and we don't, you know, we can't deserve it, and we can't get it. It has to be a gift. I'm really grateful that he decided to give it to me. Am I about running out of time? I've about run out of things to say. Okay, what I'll do is I'll let you talk, and then I get to talk after you for 6 minutes.
Hi, I'm Mary, and a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Mary.
And all that I am and ever hope to be is because of a higher power. And I am just grateful, and that I don't care where you are, if you write a grateful, can you all hear me?
Oh, helps when it's on.
Okay. Well, usually I don't need it. I talk too loud. It's too loud. Tell me to shut it off. But as a person of color, there is so many things that I am grateful for. And so many things, as you mature, you realize and thankful for the things that you have. We each woke up this morning, and for me, it's the Lord started me on my way, and he's blessing me right now. When I was younger, I got pregnant when I was, had a baby when I was 16, and my father thought I was too young, which I was. I realized with experience, so we decided not, he would not let me get married, so we went on to raise this child, and this child is wonderful. I have two in all. Later, I married, and he adopted him, and adopted her, and so that I am thankful for. When you have a child, and the child is healthy, or with some allergies that's not to the extent of others, you can really appreciate that. You can be grateful for all the things that come in your life. I work with balance. When I was younger, I would probably never have been in this hotel. I couldn't go to any theater I wanted to. The Fox was out unless I went in later years to some function with the school. I had the opportunity of sitting on the back of the bus. And when the bus got crowded, they would ask you to get up and give your seat to somebody. I'm from Alabama, and I'm just grateful. Coretta King lived down the road from my cousin, and so their families were affiliated with my families. I remember the mother coming to my grandmother's funeral, and it's just a blessing. I would travel south, and we'd buy the gas, and you asked to go to the bathroom, and they would say the bathroom was broken or they didn't have one. So you'd have to pull over to the side. So I'm grateful for the things that I have. You ever been to an outhouse? Oh, boy. Snakes and things in the black of the night. But I came to St. Louis when I was two. And I was grateful for that because my father took me back. I don't conform to rules very well. So he said he'd better get me out of there before the end of being all killed. when we went to a restaurant, the only place they would let us, I remember going, is down at Kresge's downtown. And we had to go downstairs. We purchased the food, but you'd have to stand up. And although you paid for it, you'd have to stand up. Most of the restaurants would not allow us to come in to them. Or if we did, we had to go back to the back door and mostly purchase the food there and then take it with us. My first time I saw a really dark mahogany fountain, water fountain, and a white one. I was in St. Louis, most of them were white. So I was drinking out of the white fountain, and my cousin came and grabbed me and said, "You're not supposed to be drinking out of that." I said, "It's a water fountain, why shouldn't I?" She said, "Ours is over there." And so I am just grateful for the things that I can go to most places, and I can, and I demand, in some cases, the respect. My money talks when I go international. They said, "Well, how do they treat you internationally?" I said, "They don't like me in my own country, most people." So that's all right. But you know what? I can live with that, because if the shoe was reversed, I'd probably act the same way. And that's a way of knowing that I'm just grateful to be where I am. In a marriage, usually, one person is more cuddly and the other one isn't. And my father was the cuddly one, and my mother was not. In fact, my father even told us the facts of life. But then you have to accept them. Once you know the history of somebody, you can accept them for what they are. But the gratefulness is my mother likes sparkly stuff and flowers and these little girly things I got from her. I've been in OA 32 years. But some people say for 21 years I've been absent. But I found with me, I take one day at a time, as they say. So for about 25 years, my absence has been balanced. I use food, but I like to do it in balance because I was denied so much coming up. It did serve its purpose because I can handle some money. Even as a youngster, it was nothing to see me with $2,000 because we didn't have charger plates then. And my father was a carpenter, and so he got his things from Central Hardware. But he worked from sunup to sundown trying to provide, because they would not let people of color at that time in the union. So a lot of his work was, if you remember, ash pits, was cleaning ash pits and odds. Job. So I'm really grateful of that and thankful that he always instilled in us, you can be whatever you want to be if you apply yourself. And that was good. We got to go, like, the place across Forest Park where they used to have the entertainment for the kids. We would go there, but we couldn't afford the hamburgers or anything, so we cooked the hamburgers, wrap them in foil, and keep them warm. And when we hollered a hamburger, my mother would pass that down to us. And life, we didn't have a car then. We had a truck. And when it got, like, really hot and 100 degrees, all the kids in the neighborhood would get in the truck. We didn't have air conditioning in there. We'd go out to Forest Park, and we'd stay there probably till morning and cooled off. And so I am just grateful. Just having the opportunity and use of my limbs and things. I have a friend that's 6 years younger than I am, and she's in a nursing home. She came to St. Louis. She's a teacher. She came to St. Louis. And she said her people thought she was going to take care of them. And as soon as she knew that, she was out of there, and she moved here with nobody. And we kind of adopted her, and we go and see her. Life is short, but it can be made good. And the thing, I look at the positive part, and then I'm happy. You know, I said, for this illness that we have, compulsive overeating, when you hear somebody say, "I'm glad I had this illness," it's not that. It's that I get to come to a convention, meet people, and we get to work the 12 steps, and we have problem solvers. And the good thing about this is you take what you can use, and that if you can't, leave it there. And so I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that you are my friends, and I am your friends, and the most important thing you can have in this world, which is priceless, is friendship. I don't mind saying thank you even when I stumble. Sometimes I could be on the maturing. I just say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. I spent half of my time looking for stuff. And then I said, well, Lord, if you don't help me, you know I can't find it. And he says, I probably say it's not again, but that's that's a way of life. And it's just like that. You can take lemon and make lemonade or turn it into something good. Things are just going to happen. But the good thing about it is we have a place to go, and we have a higher power, which is our Heavenly Father. And if this is what you choose, or whomever you choose it to be. And I found even with this, I call myself religious when I came in. But if I had been spiritual, I wouldn't have had to come to OA. I would have been able to use him properly. And I was not using him. I thought the little stuff I was supposed to handle. But my eating is not a little thing. It is a progressive disease. It's cunning. It's baffling. It comes at you from all directions. And I'm just thankful that I have a place to go. I can even read my literature. And I'm going to pass this picture around. I don't have very many pictures. You figure out the one I am. And you have a place to go. And I even had to plan, because I would get in trouble when I had downtime. So I can play Scrabble by myself, and I have books and things, because I'm a kid at heart. And if we keep the attitude of being a kid at heart and enjoying things and not so serious and lighten up, we can have a lot of fun. And so I do, I still skip down the street, and my mother still holds my hand when we cross the street. She's only 96. And the kids used to come in the neighborhood and say, can you come out to play? And things are going to happen, but you can wait, take time, give it, like they said, offer it to higher power. If it doesn't work out right away, he might want you to do some more work. And I'm just thankful for being here, for all the people that I meet, and for the things that I can do now. I travel abroad, and then when I travel abroad, I meet OA members over there. But I don't have to worry about 9/11, because they're getting as crazy as the United States. just thankful for who I am. Through, not by myself, but because of a power that's greater than me. And I seek his guidance, and I find out I used to get in trouble and go, and then I want to bail me out, then I want to tell him what to do. Now, how could I tell him what to do when I couldn't even handle myself and want to tell other people? So just remember, I got a full-time job taking care of myself. I need help, and higher power provides it. He will provide it if I listen. He's there. And the thing about it is, every day is a new experience. And when this stuff happens, these things shall pass. I get to enjoy things. And this daughter I talked about that I had younger, oh, it's nothing like to spend $3,000 on me or send me abroad. Not that I expected, and I try to pay my way, but I do enjoy these blessings. And one day at a time, one day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Lord, give me the strength to do everything I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. But for my sake, help me to take one day at a time. Thank you for coming and listening to me.
I want to just take a couple more minutes since I didn't remember what to say. See, I can think of things when other people are talking. It's when I'm talking I don't think of them. Something especially good that has happened to me recently is that I got a divorce when I was 50-something, and my job was tied up in my divorce. So with the stroke of a pen, I went from vice president of a corporation to a temp. And the blessing I got in there was that my daughter's stepfather-in-law was an investment counselor, and that's what I was told. So I went to him, and he invested my money. And later, I got a chance to do something else, and I moved some of the money. And he was out of town when I moved it. And when he got back, he called me, and he said, well, I just wanted to make sure that they weren't taking advantage of you. And he went through everything, and he said, no, it's okay. But he said, you know, I got tired of hand to mouth. So I sat down, and in 10 years, I became a millionaire, self-made. And he puts my money where he puts his. What better can I do? So this fall, spring, I went, or February, I went to Florida to visit my friend's mother. Well, my friend and I went to Florida to visit her mother. And she lives in a retirement community down there. And I got the idea that maybe I ought to buy a house down there. And I did. But first I called my investment counselor and I said, what do you think? And he looked at stuff and he said, Nancy, you've made more money this year than you're talking about spending. Go ahead and do it. And he said, but don't take a loan. Pay for it. I said, I never even paid for a used car, just cash. But he said, do it. And I said, okay. And I did. And we're still in the process. It's not totally mine yet, but I've sent the checks. And it's getting there, and the insurance is getting there. And May and June, I'm going to be, or part of May and most of June, I'm going to be in Florida. And then come Christmas, I'll be out of here till April because I'm too old. I have arthritis and I just have Raynaud's and I'm just too old for cold. And so that is a great blessing that I didn't even think I could retire, much less buy a house with cash. So. You know, God is really, really good, and I'm thankful. And it's Susie's turn. I don't know what your hair is.
Oh, Susie.
Yeah, okay. Can I be heard in the back?
No, you need the mic.
You need the mic.
Hang it. Okay, she's going to bring it around.
Here we go.
It's all set up.
Right here.
Thank you.
I thought there was a
couple
here.
Sure.
Okay.
What can I say?
Yeah.
That's why I'm in OA.
Here, let's do this. Give me just a second.
Oh.
Let's turn it off for a second. Let's get a second. Hang on.
Great. Which one am I in the picture?
Who wants it by itself?
Right.
Yeah. Well,
in green. Stuck in my face.
In the middle.
Oh, green.
Green.
Oh. I'm going to hold the fire because it's the weight of it. Don't bring it down. Well, that's what I'm trying to get it to do. Yes. Well, it's strip it if you do. It's not
quite. Anybody want to ask any questions while we're waiting? Comments?
How much weight have you given away?
I am anywhere from 25 to 30 pounds.
Thank you so much.
I can do that.
Thank you.
Because I don't feel deprived.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. I am Susie, and I am a compulsive overeater always.
Hi, Susie.
That's page 33 in the big book. I am so excited. I can hardly control myself because I have found what works for me, a way of doing gratitude that it's just so rewarding. I mean, I am excited. I also have this that I want to show you. It's one of these little candles that, you know, that it works on a battery. Well, oh dear, when I was growing up, we had prayer candles, but they were real candles. And so our idea of a prayer candle is when I light it, even though I get busy during the day and life takes me elsewhere, that little light is still going up. And that light is sending my prayer, my petition, or my thanksgiving up the whole time I'm doing something else. If that prayer is still going to God, let's work. And I had a friend who was going through some serious physical tests and things like that. And she had a really tough one coming up, and she called me. And she said, Susie, will you light the prayer light? And I said, yes. And so when everything settled down and we talked again, she said, Susie, all I could think about was that prayer light going up for me to God. And that got me through. I just kept seeing that prayer through that little light going up to God. So the idea is that let's have this thing go up to God now. Okay, this is what I want to share with you. Okay, I just introduced myself. How do I start this? A friend of mine was telling me about doing this. So I thought I would try it. Because I was told that, Susie, when you go eyeball to eyeball, face to face, person to person, and you take your pen to paper, and you write out that gratitude, and you see that this person gets it, whether you hand it to them or whether you mail it to them, you will experience something quite different. So to give you an example, I was shopping here just the other day at Dillard's, and I had the most darling sales lady. She was sweet. She was patient. She ran her feet off looking for sizes and colors and worked with me, and I didn't buy one thing. Not one thing. So after she left, I took one of my cards. These are cards that I had printed up, and they say, Up Your Gratitude. Because I like that, because it was Up Your Gratitude was in some kind of an article that I read. And so I've adopted that as my thank you cards, Up Your Gratitude. And I sat down and I wrote just something simple, like, I just want to thank you for help the way you helped me. You know, you were kind, you were consistent, blah, blah, blah. You make my shopping at Dillard's enjoyable. When I left the dressing room, I went and saw her. I took this card and I just handed it to her on the blank side. And I turned around and started walking away. And all of a sudden, she was beckoning me. So I turned around again, and what I saw was the most beautiful face. She had a smile from ear to ear. Her face was glowing. She just said to me, thank you. Thank you so much. I, in return, you know, it's like the boomerang. I was sending good to her, love to her. When I saw her condition and how she accepted the compliment, my spirits rise, my walk gets lighter, and I carry that with me the rest of the day, even though it was just that long. Nothing, you know, just a few minutes or seconds. It was just so beautiful. So I was talking to one of my friends, and he said that he tried this, and he was going to Starbucks. And he goes to Starbucks every morning for his coffee. And there's a bistro lady, a lady that makes the coffee, always greets him with a smile and calls him by name, uses his name. And he thought to himself, that's really, really nice. So he wrote her a little thank you note saying how when she mentions his name, he doesn't feel like a number. And that he thanked her for coming to work on a holiday, giving up her holiday and coming to work. The next day, when he sees her, he hands her the note, and she just takes it and puts it in her pocket. It's kind of surprised him that she didn't read it. So the following day, when he comes back to Starbucks, she's there, and she said, "I need to tell you, when you handed that note to me, I figured it was just another complaint." We get so many complaints through notes. And then her eyes, he said, tear up. She said, "I was so surprised." She said, "Reading your thank you note has put value in my life." She said, "You've really helped me." And then another time I experienced, we were shopping at Lazy Boy for furniture. My husband and I, and once again, the salesperson was just so nice. And when we finally made up our mind and all that was taken care of, I wrote her a little thank you note, thanking her for being so gracious and lovely and helping us with this decision. When I saw her later, she said to me, "I write thank you notes all the time, but this is the first time that I have ever gotten a thank you note." And my last story is a friend of mine who's a lawyer. Now, he went through his bad times. He was going broke. He was almost there. He owned his own business. There's several lawyers and, paralegals and secretaries all in the office, busy. He was in a very cruddy apartment where he was living, like one room, bedroom, and a bathroom, and something just very undesirable. He only had cold water, and the landlord didn't care, that kind of thing. His wife was divorcing him, and his girlfriend had just broken up, and he had stopped giving his employees any bonuses, no raises, and he said, "I'll be darned if I can have anything to be thankful for." But someone told him, "Write a thank you note today. Write one thank you note." So he sat down and he said, "I couldn't think of anybody to write." And I thought, well, my paralegal, am I saying that right, paralegal, really does a beautiful job. She's dependable. She's on time. She follows through. So he wrote a little thank you note and gave it to her. And then somebody else in his business came to his mind, and he wrote another thank you note. What happened was that the office began to write thank you notes to each other. It grew. They begin to thank you for all you've done for me, for working overtime, you know, thank you. And then they would email this, what they sent to the other person, they would email it back to him to let him know and see what was going on in his office. And then they finally just directly started coming and thanking him. And he said then that was his first experience of knowing what this thank you note can do for others. So he decided that he would write one thank you note a day for a year. So that would mean 316 thank you notes he would have passed out. He passed out. But he didn't make it in a year. He said it took him a little longer. But I caught on fire, you know, when I heard all this. And I decided to do the same thing. And I just made 100, and I started this almost 2 years ago. My little, your names might, if you ever saw this, your names might be on there. And then we kind of laughed because there are some things that are called the crazy thank yous. They're just crazy. I mean, after I finished, after a while, I couldn't think of anybody else. I, for the first time, I was writing people, "Thank you for your Christmas card. Thank you for your pictures," and things like that. And so I was walking one day, and I noticed the beautiful landscaping on some of the houses. And it made me so appreciative. So I thought, I asked my therapist, I said, "Is this way overboard?" And she said, no, Susie, not at all. She said, but don't put your name on the thank you, on the gratitude card. She said, because then if I put my name, I'm bringing the attention to me, and I don't want to do that. So that was my crazy thank you notes. I would just write a little thing. You know, it's such a pleasure to look at your landscaping. You know, your work is appreciated, and thank you for keeping our subdivision going. And I would sign it, grateful neighbor. And I do that quite often, like with employees and different companies. I'll just sign it, grateful customer. I think that's about all I have to say. It's just, I too sit down daily. That's my goal, is to daily sit down and write 10 gratitudes. And then after that, I write 10 things that I want this day. And then after that, I write 20 miracles. I got that idea from you all. I just think that it's so beautiful. I want each and every one of you to say, oh, I'm going to jump up and try this. I have some cards here, my cards that read up your gratitude. Then I have some just plain cards. And anybody would like to just take one of these cards as you, you know, if you leave and pass it on to someone, you're welcome to do that. And with that, I pass.
We're passing around a basket. If you have any questions for any of us, please put the questions in there. That's the Ask It basket. Also, at this point, I guess, Susie already sent it around.
Oh, please send that one.
What, is there a different basket?
Yeah, there's another basket that's coming up.
Oh, you've already got
coming?
Oh,
that way. Yeah.
Well, there's one coming up from the back also.
The one in the back is the cards.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Live and learn.
Do we have pitch time?
Yes. We'll open it up for pitches from the floor. If there are any questions, we'll address them when we get them. No throwing at people, please.
Hi, my name is Vivian. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Vivian.
Ladies, I wanted to ask you how many years each of you has been in program and add that up, and then I have an observation to make. So, Susie, how many years have you been in program?
27 and a half.
Nancy?
23 and a half.
Okay, so we're up to 51. Thank you, Janine.
Yeah.
And Mary?
32.
So we have here 83 years of program. I had the honor to serve at the convention as the program chair, so I got to talk to each of these ladies on the phone. And it was very interesting to me that each of them said, gratitude is one of the most important things to me. That's what I'd like to talk about. And I think, for myself, that is something I want to take away from this convention. If I want to last a long time in the program, if I want to be happy, joyous, and free as these ladies are, then gratitude needs to be something really important to me, too. Gratitude is a huge part of our program, and I think these ladies are living proof of that. And ladies, I am grateful for each of you. Thank you for sharing.
I'm Janine, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Janine.
That was a great meeting. I'm so grateful for all the thoughts on gratitude. Couple of things. I had talked earlier, and I talked about my gratitude for all of the people who have connected to me over the years with loving vibrations, because that taught me how to connect to my higher power. But I thought after that meeting, I'm also grateful for the people who didn't connect so much with me, because I learned that you can live happy, successful, and free even if everybody doesn't love you. So I thought that kind of the paradox of the program. I'm grateful for both, but it really is the people that I connected with that showed me the way to connect to my higher power. And I'll just share this one thing and move along here. But I was one time in a very stressful situation, and somebody passed me a note, and they said something like, "You are special, just put yourself in God's hands." And I pictured the little child laying in God's hands. And it was such a special thing because, again, you know, that connection. Here was a person reaching out to me, recognizing that I was in somewhat of a turmoil, offering a very visual suggestion of what I could do. And another road on my step to learning how to connect to this power greater than myself to help me in recovery. So thank you all, and thank you for a wonderful meeting. Long timers.
Hello, Melissa, compulsive overeater. I was overjoyed by this, and I wanted to say something. Also, I wanted to make sure I get that card before anybody else did. That's how I like things up. I have other ulterior narratives, photos. However, it's just so amazing for me because Sunday, and it's funny because my friend just called me and she's a program in Maryland, but on Sunday I said I was going to give up on OA. And I was like, I was done, you know. But that ends with a T. Isn't working. And, you know, you got to know when to throw in the towel. You know, I was doing the right thing, keeping it real. And she was like, oh, just go to the meetings. Isn't that OA convention coming? Just go. And, you know, you don't have to work the program. You could just go to a meeting. And I was like, oh. I was like, I know that's that sneaky crap, you know. I was like, I know the game. I was like, oh, all right, I'll consider it, you know. And then, you know, my sponsor always says she's always the last to know everything, so I figure that I was going to beat her to it and then tell her first. And so I called her later, and I said, giving up on the OA. And she was like, oh my God, I thought you was going to give up on me. Oh, it's so much better. I feel better now that you just giving up on OA. Okay. I was like, really? Did you hear me? I'm giving up. Yeah, she was like, oh, that's... Well, tell me why, and, you know, go through all the crap. And before you know it, you know, I started laughing, and she was like, yeah. He was like, yeah, okay. Maybe I haven't done everything, you know, I could have done. So I am just really grateful for the long-timers, because she's my sponsor, is a long-timer. And she's given up a whole lot, too, before she had, I guess now she celebrates 30 years of absence. And, it's amazing, and I'm just really, I was touched by Mary's comment about African Americans. Give me a minute. And how far we as a race have come. And it's really pretty impressive that my sponsor is a white woman. Yeah, life is crappy sometimes, but we can come together, right?
Hi, I'm Diane.
Hi, Diane.
Hi. I'm grateful today for actually being at the convention. We no longer have face-to-face meetings where I'm from. And I came into OA 27 years ago this month when we had a booming OA group. And it dwindled down to nothing. So I'm really grateful for St. Louis Intergroup, for the Super Saturdays, and for the conventions. I came into OA mainly because I had high cholesterol and I couldn't keep my weight down and I couldn't stay on a low cholesterol diet. And over the years that kind of, my food plan has changed a lot over the years. And at that time I was, my top weight was 170 non-pregnant. And then I went to the other side with the anorexic and have come back up from there. I was a receiver of those prayer candle lights. 4 years ago this month, I had a severe colon infection, and there was two OA people. The one I could call any time, day or night, when I was in the hospital. I was probably on my deathbed. And today, to be able to be on my feet and to work is beyond my wildest dreams. There was a time that I didn't know if I would even be able to go back to work. I'm in the healthcare profession. Years ago, when I was so full of fear, program has given me confidence to work through those shame and fear and all those things. And I'm really grateful today that I do work in the healthcare profession. I really can say I like being what I am in my profession. So that's good. Several years ago, my husband and I went through separation and divorce. Today, my daughter is going through the same thing with a similar issue. And when I was in the hospital 4 years ago, I was talked to about redemptive suffering. So I would offer that suffering up for some intention. And I feel like the suffering that we went through years ago has kind of come full circle, because I can see what my daughter's been through, but it's also that we can see what we went through. And I need that forgiveness of what that separation and a divorce did to our kids. I have the daughter that lived in an alcoholic home. I had a son that's very overweight, and it started kind of after we separated and divorced. And I have a lot of guilt about that. So for today, I'm just grateful that I have a program, that I have a 12-step program, that I am able to function and to be self-responsible and to meet my needs. It's a great blessing just to be able to do those things and to have OA rock solid. And to have intergroup. Intergroup has been a lifesaver. We've not had meetings now for a few years, and intergroup and Super Saturdays are a lifesaver in the phone meetings. So I think that's about all I wanted to say. And my mom always told me, you know, when you go through pain and suffering as a kid, she used to always tell me this: offer it up. Offer your pain and suffering up for some intention or some good, and it comes full circle. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Maria, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi. Yeah.
I would like to say thank you for this convention, and to thank you, these three young ladies right here. They're part of my home group that I haven't been to in about a year. So I haven't been working a program for quite some time. So I think this might be my new beginning. I got a call today saying, you need to come to this convention, and I didn't even know there was a convention being held, but I've been isolating because that's part of my disease. But I am still awful grateful for you all being here for me. I'm grateful that I have my health. Last year I had two surgeries on my shoulder. I tore my rotator cuff twice. And had to have surgery again within 4 months, which was kind of depressing. And I suffered from depression anyway, so I had a really hard time. But I am still grateful that it wasn't worse, because it can always be worse. This last month, February 1st, I had the opportunity to retire from my job after 35 years and 4 months. And I'm surprised I got there, but I did, and I am able to retire from that job. And, you know, they gave me a pretty good send-off, took me out to lunch and gave me a watch and gave me money and things I wasn't expecting from them. But I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for my family that has been my support system through my whole life. I've always said that if you give good, you get good. And I'm good at giving good to other people, but I don't give to myself. Number one is I don't work this program. I don't have a sponsor. I don't have a food sponsor. I don't use any of the tools, calling people, which keeps me sick. And I am truly sick today. But I'm grateful for being here. I'm grateful for the invitation to come. I'm really glad I got out of my shell, got out of my room, got out of my nightgown, and I'm here. And I'm thankful for you all.
I'm Jan, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jan.
I've been in program 25 and a half years. I came into program because my family was so out of control. And I thought if I was thin, they'd straighten up.
Oh, yeah.
And for 8 years, I came to meetings every week. Got a lot of emotional recovery. Got a lot of fellowship. Refused to work the steps. Refused to get a sponsor. Refused to do a lot of things. After 8 years, I came to a convention and I got abstinent, as I did every other year. And I was off sugar for 6 years. And but I wasn't totally abstinent, but I thought I was. And one night I had a bowl of ice cream with my son. And I wasn't abstinent for years and years and years. I went to the World Convention last August. Met a woman who I asked to be my sponsor because I admired her program. She'd only been in a couple years, but I admired this lady. And she told me I had to be honest with her and myself, or she wouldn't be my sponsor. And I now have 7 months yesterday of abstinence. And it's an abstinence like I've never had before. I've had years, you know, I've had times when I'm abstinent, I'm not eating, you know. This one has been a gift from God. He gifted me with a spiritual experience at that convention. He gifted me with a psychic change, you know, and those are things that have to happen. I did a first step with this new sponsor, and it's one like I'd never done before, to where I really admitted I am a compulsive overeater, and I cannot have certain foods. I had to write down a binge list, and I have to text my food every day. And she'll catch me every so often, you know. We went to I can still do a Chinese buffet. I get one plate, and I got one crab ragoon. And she texted me and said, I thought fried foods weren't on your food. But I only got one, not five, you know. Okay, I've done the buffets before now, and I just don't get them. Because I didn't need it. It was just something that I tried. And I've gone through different situations. You know, I was gone for 3 months down south, and they eat different down south. And I've remained abstinent because of choices I've made in restaurants. I've read menus harder than I've ever read them before. I've asked more questions than I've ever asked before in a restaurant. And it can be done. It's just, for me, it's been the honesty and the accountability. Being accountable to another person. For 25 years, I never wanted to do that. I didn't want to have to call somebody with my food. The texting has helped because then I figure I'm not bothering her every day, you know, with just my food plan. And I'm grateful that God kept me in the rooms. He's kept me in here for 25 years. I go to 3 meetings a week. Down south when I was down there, I had one meeting a week with one other person. But I was helping that other person. And she's so grateful when I come down. You know, a few of us snowbirds, we had 5 at the meeting, the last meeting I was at. And now she's probably sitting by herself again. So I'm so grateful that I have the opportunity to go to all these meetings. And last year was the first year I didn't come to the convention because we were down south. And this year, I made the effort to come this year. I don't guarantee I'll be here next year, because I don't like the cold weather. So, but I'm just so grateful that we have these conventions. I did go to an AA Jubilee while I was down there, which gave me a really good boost of program. My husband, we go to the Catholic Church, and he wanted to go to this Baptist church that somebody had told him about. And that morning I was going to the AA Jubilee, because we went to the Baptist church, and then I said, do you want to come with me to this meeting? And he said no. So I got to the meeting, and I found more spirituality at that meeting than I did at any church I've ever gone to. Because 12-step people live spirituality. A lot of churches where they go is Sunday, you know. And I found in 12-step programs, living the 12 steps and living spirituality, I'm so grateful for the opportunity that I was given to get into this program. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Carol. I'm a compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic. I won't take a whole lot of your time. I do notice that the light goes on and off, kind of like me. So my biggest piece of gratefulness, if you want to call it that, that I have, is that the doors to these meetings are open to me whether I'm on track or I've derailed. No one said, oh, you can't come in, Carol, because you just binged out in the car with a whole dozen, you know, whatevers. It's, Carol, thank you so much for coming. And even if the meeting's going and I try to sneak in, somebody will either smile at me or give me a hug, and they don't care whether I've gotten there late or I've gotten there early but sat there like this, not looking at a single soul. They still say they're happy to see me. So thank you for the doors that stay open.
Hi there, I'm Ken, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Ken.
I want to put in my 2 cents for the newbies. There might not be any newbies out there, but I'm a newbie. These ladies are in my home group. I'm so very proud of them. I actually almost talked myself out of coming today. And HP just kind of poked me in the ribs, like, come on. You know you want to go. So I did. I have a really funny relationship with HP. I share this with the ladies in the home group. I often see HP as like this. Hey, you're asking me that again? And usually comes around and gives me the answers that I want. I just want to say that I'm very grateful for the ladies in my group. Sometimes when I get to group, I don't have a lot to smile about, and I leave with a grin from ear to ear because somebody has shared something that touches my heart, or they shared something that I can truly identify with. I'm also grateful to my HP, who even before OA, a little bit of my history, I'm a three-stroke survivor. There was no guarantee that I was going to be able to use my right side. I used to have to sign medical documents with an X. As long as it was witnessed, that was legal tender. There was even no guarantee that I was going to walk again. So I'm very grateful to HP for giving me what I like to call bonus days. Every day after April 30th, 2010, was a bonus day, because I've had physicians from Canada and the U.S. tell me I shouldn't be alive, but I am, for a particular purpose. So I like to think this is part of my purpose. So that's all I have to share. Thank you.
Thank you. I believe our time is up, so could we get in a circle and
say, I put my hand in yours.